Hey, welcome.
Hello, again.
Again. We're doing a couple of back-to-back recordings here, so this is exciting for us. Welcome back to Old Millennials, a deep dive on shallow topics from the early 2000s. This is our fourth mini episode. We are your hosts. I'm Emily.
I'm Margo.
Welcome again. We have an interesting topic today.
It's less of a topic and more of like a, oh, hey. My husband cleaned out the center console in his car, and look at all of these questionable CDs. He says there are CDs, but some of them are not mine.
Yeah.
I will lay claim to the ones that are my responsibility as a person, but the rest of them. And also, I'd like to tell you that there are two of one of these CDs we're about to talk about, and so, obviously, you know, we're two of the CD household, and maybe we don't need to be.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But, you know, you'll get to that point where you consolidate and, you know, it'll be, maybe that's like a second anniversary thing you do. I don't know.
We already consolidated a bunch of CDs a while ago when we wanted more space on our bookshelves and didn't want to get rid of books. So we got rid of all of the jewel cases and got like a soft pack. And most of the time, I mean, honestly, just even having these at all is ridiculous. We don't really have a way to listen to them to begin with.
The only place I have a place to listen to CD is in my car. That's the only place.
We used to be able to listen to CDs in our car, and then we got like a Bluetooth adapter that goes through the CD player, so now we can't even listen to CDs in there.
Yeah, and I actually, right now, my holder for my phone so I can use GPS is actually being shoved into the CD slot. Like, that's how. So I could, but like, I'd have to get rid of that.
I don't know. I rented a car a couple of years ago that had a CD player, and so, like, I took a stack of random CDs with me. One of them was Mickey Avalon, which, I don't know, that was that was an interesting throwback to put in the car, and then I picked up one of my best friends who I used to listen to Mickey Avalon with a lot, and we listened to it, and we're like, okay, a couple of these still are decent.
I still just remember the line, your dick, Macaulay Culkin, from Mickey Avalon. That's, like, really the one that just...
Yeah, I saw him live more times than I care to count. So let's move on to the topic of why are these CDs in your car?
I don't know, but I'm really appreciative of Sean having them, though some are questionable. I do appreciate that he has these as a way for us to reminisce, I guess.
I mean, we pared down the selection, too, because there are also some CDs like one of my best friend's bands, like, that band doesn't even exist anymore, and you wouldn't know who they are, and it truly doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, yeah, but I think some of these are real kind of standouts of a certain moment in
time.
Where
do you want to start?
I think we just start from the top, because I just realized that not only do we have Kanye West, College Dropout, but it is in the This Is a Long Drive for Someone with Nothing to Think About Modest Mouse case, which is such a typical early 2000s thing to happen where you get really angry at yourself for having disorganized CDs.
I don't think that factors into Sean's thought process at all.
No, but I loved this Modest Mouse album mainly because
that is honestly one of the most depressing albums I have ever heard.
It is, but I do love the song, track 14, Talking Shit About a Pretty Sunset, because shout out Jordan, my old college roommate, if you're listening, you put this on a mix CD you made for me, and it was a great song. I used to listen to it a lot in college.
Heart Cooks Brains is not on here, is it?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, that's a song that...
Is Heart Cooks Brains not like Gravity Rides? No, that's...
No, Gravity Rides, everything is like a more, for whatever... purposes.
Moon, it's on the Moon Antarctica.
It's a more upbeat record, is all I'm trying to say, than any other Modest Mouse album. All I know is that song, it was like this has Dramamine on it, which someone I went to high school with was like, oh, Modest Mouse, Dramamine's a great song, and I listened to it, I was like, are you okay? Were you trying to tell me something?
Do you need a hug?
I know that you're like kind of the class clown. Is that weighing on you in any sort of way right now?
The tears of a clown.
I actually just listened to that song yesterday. It's so good.
It is a really great song.
One more thing about Modest
Mouse.
Oh, yeah,
of course.
My friend's ex-boyfriend loved Modest Mouse, and he tried to have sex with her two Heart Cooks Brains, and when I listened to the song, I was like, wow, you should dump him now, because that's a bad stitch.
Song to do that to.
Yeah, no, but he also was like, I'm so deep and like an artist. I'm like, okay, you're just also kind of like an idiot, though, too, who cannot read social cues.
Wow.
We can transition over to Kanye. a Kanye that I used to be able to stand. I think this is, I think College Dropout is mine, but the Modest Mouse case is Sean's.
Oh, that's true love though, right there. That's a real union moment right there between you guys.
I guess.
Kanye West, College Dropout, I loved. I was also a big fan of Late Registration, mainly because Touch the Sky was like my song senior year of high school. Yeah, I know. But this album, College Dropout, I mean, it's still solid, great.
We're still in, like, prime Kanye era before he said wild, ignorant things or started to try to have a cult slash church.
We have, like,
slash tax shelter.
Jesus Walks, Through the Wire.
Oh, I hate Through the Wire. That's one of my least favorite Kanye songs. And I know everybody fucking loves that song. They're like, oh, it's wild. He, like, survived all that. But I can't remember, who does he sample in Through the Wire?
Chaka Khan.
Yeah.
Through the Fire. Yeah.
I think it was on Andy Cohen. He asked Chaka Khan what she thought about Through the Wire. She's like, I fucking hate that song. I was like, yes! Exactly. That's the only right answer. Fuck that song.
I love you, Chaka Khan. What else was on this one? Jesus Walks, All Falls Down. The workout.
Featuring Dion.
Yeah.
Also, before she was an asshole.
Right.
Or, like, we didn't know she was an asshole.
Yeah. And then
there's that Talib Kweli song that I really like, too, that's on there. And then there's that song with Ludacris, too. I am, like, drawing blanks.
There's the workouts tape, too.
With Anna Nicole Smith. That song still gets played everywhere.
Yeah.
Everybody likes that song.
It's a good song.
I feel like this album, you can still put it on, and it's not problematic.
No.
It's not like Gold Digger's on here.
No. No, that's, yeah, I think that's Late Registration, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
College Dropout was good. I remember... Or is good still, not past tense. Like, Kanye was good. That is past tense.
Yes.
But I went to a Tower Records on Sunset Boulevard to buy College Dropout, along with something else that was completely out of left field, and I can't recall what it is now, but I just remember going up to the clerk being like, these are all the albums I've been dying to buy.
They just gave you a look.
And they're all just very strange CDs to get. Anyway, maybe Coldplay was mixed in there. Fuck, I can't remember now. But
that is around, like, when A Rush of Blood to the Head came out. So that would maybe make sense.
Yeah, I think it might have bought John Mayer, too. I don't know.
You know what, though? I don't judge that. I went through a big Mayer phase. I don't judge anyone. I can't judge anyone, you know, when people say things. That's why I don't judge as much on music taste. Some people might. Like, I've been through my share of things. Our next CD, White Stripes. But which one is it?
It's Get Behind Me, Satan, is a good one.
Which is a good one.
This is also a CD that both of us own, so I don't know whose it is.
Mm. Is there, like,
I love White Stripes.
I do, too.
I had seen them a couple of times live in high school. They were great. I saw them with Queens of Stone Age once, which was dope.
Ooh.
And that was at the Hollywood Bowl. I loved them. Sean and I were supposed to see them on their last tour for Icky Thumb.
Oh, really?
But then it was the one that Meg freaked out and they canceled all a bunch of dates.
I remember that.
So we didn't get to see them, unfortunately, for the last time.
It's a bummer. I never saw the White Stripes. I actually have never seen any Jack White-related projects. Like, I've never seen Raconteurs.
Well, they're going to be here soon. They're going to be in the Bay Area soon. We have tickets to that, which I'm trying to actively trade. But we've seen the Dead Weather a bunch of times.
Yeah.
I feel like they're a band that, Raconteurs and Dead Weather are a band that toured a lot for a period of time.
More so than White Stripes, I feel like.
Well, definitely. I think that maybe I'm just assuming this, but I think at one point he did enjoy touring. And now he's older and tired, and he broke his ankle like a couple years ago. And so maybe that is also like, well, that kind of sucks, and I don't really want to deal with that anymore. But between, like, 2010 and 2015, I feel like I saw them all the time because they were just constantly touring. Just, like, another band in this list of CDs that we have, which is Spoon. They're, like, a band that it's a difficult task to miss them.
Yeah.
Because they have toured every single year.
Pretty much.
Since I was 18. So I've seen them maybe 10 or 12 times at this point.
The only reason I've never seen Spoon, and I've had tickets multiple times, it's just like random things would come up. They're one of those bands that I bought tickets for, unfortunately I've never seen, but I will.
Well, now you won't see them with their original bassist because he just left the band. R.I.P.
R.I.P. There's a sound that I was noticing just now as I was like playing around with the CD case. Like, you probably can't hear it very well, but it's the sound of a CD case closing.
It's the jewel case.
The jewel case. Don't hear that often anymore.
I mean, I think you were pointing this out when you were trying to figure out who the fuck it was, and it turned out to be a Man Man album.
Yeah.
But people used to put so much care and attention into album art. I mean, not like they don't do it anymore, but I feel like unless you're doing like a Beyonce visual album kind of level, there isn't that same, like, I think it comes down more to like tour posters now. Perhaps that's the medium that it's transferred over to, which I don't agree. Have a problem with.
Right.
But there used to be so much thought in like Easter eggs and like elaborate artwork that, like, Beck put out that album where,
notes.
Yes. Beck put out that album where it came with like a bunch of stickers.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen as frequently anymore.
No.
Wow, that sounds a lot like a I'm an old man, get off my lawn type of comment. But I don't know. There's something that is a little bit missing from that. Although I do love having all of my albums streaming neatly on my phone. And I don't have to flip through a fucking CD. And I don't have to take an extra trip to anywhere if I want to listen to one song off of Tragic Kingdom or some shit like that.
Oh, no, for sure. And we talked about this. I forget what episode we talked about that. But we were talking about, you know, the care you put into selecting CDs when you would go on a trip. Like, for that CD Bible or wallet or whatever you want to call it.
Or even the care in making like a mix CD. Just agonizing over what's the progression.
And
we used to trade mix CDs. I mean, I think that's something that Pen 15 did nicely. We used to trade mix CDs all the time, and they'd be like mixes for different school years or different seasons or like to get ready to go out to punk shows. Like, we had mixes for fucking everything.
But the care that was put into it, because you can't revisit it once you've made it. Like, the playlist on
Spotify. I literally can't revisit it at all because I don't have a disc drive on my laptop.
Right. But if you're on Spotify, you end up being like, oh, you know what? This doesn't fare. These don't pair very well. Let me take this one song out and replace it. Like,
oh, that's
super easy. But like, yeah, now, you know, the care and like the finality of it all, like, okay, I've created this mixtape for someone I care deeply about or whatever. Let me give it to this person. And I still remember getting like mixed CDs like after a date or something. That was like a whole what did that say about that person? Like,
one of the last mixed CDs I made was for Sean for Valentine's Day, and it was like a bunch of sappy songs from artists that we'd seen live, because we've gone to a lot of concerts together.
Love it. The next one on our list here is The Darkness's Permission to Land.
Okay, that's mine. I stand by owning it.
It's a great album.
I haven't listened to a thing called Love in a long time, but I think it still slaps, as the kids may not say anymore. But I don't know, and I'm not going to stop saying it.
That's
it. I saw them live at the Fonda in high school because my mom worked for the Fonda's office at some point, so I would get tickets to whatever. So I saw them before they were a big deal, and the dude had on like a unicorn onesie.
What's his name? Justin Hawkins. That was the lead singer's name. Yeah.
And now his role of wacky frontman is taken up by Justin Guarini in those Pepsi commercials. But back then he was like a pretty big deal. He came out on stage like in a little onesie.
Yeah.
And then when it got too hot, like took it off and was just shirtless and like singing and dancing. But they put on a fun show. I remember liking them at the time, but they are definitely like a one-hit wonder
for sure.
By all other accounts.
My connection to the Darkness is my aunt, my 76 or 77-year-old aunt just married her long-term 81, 82-year-old British boyfriend. It's weird to call her boyfriend because he's 80s, but anyway. His daughter used to be married to a guy who was the person who discovered the Darkness and was one of the co-producers on Permission to Land. And so was very cool to know that person. I knew him and his son back when that happened. So it was very cool. That's my one story.
Yay, the Darkness. They won't be getting a Vegas residency,
Probably not. But I wouldn't put them in the camp of our Reno residency, like 98 degrees.
No, I don't even think they're going to get there,
unfortunately. No. Our next CD.
This is not mine. I want to go on record.
I just appreciate that Sean owns this. It's a CD from the Long Beach Dub All-Stars.
I mean, of course he fucking owns that. Have you seen his beard?
I love you so much, Sean, for owning this. I was really into Sublime for a while. I feel like almost everyone went through a phase.
Yes. I mean, of course. Who didn't have a Sublime phase? The Sublime CD was given to me by a neighbor at far too young of an age, and I really enjoyed it, but quickly grew out of it.
I had a...
Mostly, I think I blame a lot of my dislike of Sublime on K-Rock, the radio station in L.A.
Oh, because, you grew
they
up just, like, young.
They blasted fucking Sublime and Red Hot Chili Peppers to the point where I physically cannot listen to it without wanting to throw my laptop across the
room.
Mean,
there's such... that's why I know who... the station K-Rock, like, even before I moved to California, was because that's, like, it was the... and all the specials or behind the musics for Red Hot Chili Peppers or Sublime.
It's always, like, Kevin and Bean on there all the time because they had intimate knowledge because they fucking played their music all the time.
When, like, it was just, like, the moment we heard ourselves on K-Rock, that was when it all changed. Yeah.
But I don't think that Long Beach Dub All-Stars, I feel like they're a niche, like, little stonery band.
That's true. I think that's a step close, like, deeper in.
They're one of those bands, like, sort of the Aquabats in a sense, where they, like, show up at weird county fairs and stuff.
Yeah.
Or, like, you've seen them perform, like, on a pier.
Right.
I don't know.
On a pier.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. No, I agree. That's all I really wanted to do. Shout out to you, Sean. Thank you for that little memory.
Okay.
Our next one's... Jesus.
This could be mine. This could be Sean's. I don't know, because we both had this album.
I think I did, too. These are gonna... It's a little back-to-back here. I think we need to put them in this order, though, because of chronological...
Sure. That one's definitely mine.
Limp Bizkit's Significant Other, which has a very prominent parental advisory label.
Thanks a lot, Mrs. Gore.
Oh, Tipper. Where to start?
I don't hear a problem. This album is still good. I stand by it. I don't care.
I enjoy
Break
it.
Break Stuff is
it's
good.
A great song.
Rearranged is also good. And here's the newsflash. I still remember all the words.
Oh, I knew. I still can rock Nookie at karaoke anytime, any day. Name your place.
Another
I will
song
be there.
Where my poor mother had to explain to me what Nookie meant, just like when I listened to Blink-182 for the first time. I don't know, the state where they had that lyric about the state looks
down on
sodomy. And I was like, what's sodomy? And she's like,
oh no.
Okay, well.
So I feel like my parents would have obviously know what sodomy was, but I don't think my parents would have known what Nookie was. But maybe in the context, my dad would have been able to know. My mom would have been
I don't
clueless.
Know if my mom necessarily knew it prior to listening to the song and being like, oh, I get it. But End Together Now with Method Man.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That's a good song. So I get Nookie and Break Stuff stuck in my head a lot. And then Nobody Like You, that's another one I get stuck in my head a lot.
And 1990.
It's literally, guys.
Nine.
Number nine.
The word
T-E-E-N. Number 90. Then spelled out nine. Is the cover of Faith on here? No.
No, I think that's on the next one.
Oh, yeah.
But I do love the cover art. Again, talk about the lovely cover art of, like, some very 90s b-boy rapper
with
Adidas hard toe shells, because that was, like, huge.
Of course. A prominent red New York Yankees cap, a la Fred Durst, of course.
Right.
What is this little... So, you know that...
It just looks like something someone would graffiti on the side of a building.
Yeah, I guess... So.
And that was cool.
Yeah, if you guys remember, like, in addition to CD artwork, like, there's always the little, the hinge part, and there was, like, a little subtle artwork on this one.
Oh, right, it was an enhanced CD, too,
oh
which
my
I'm not
God.
Entirely sure what the fuck that meant.
So you could put it in your computer, as I had a few of these. I didn't know what they were until one day I was trying to play a CD on my dad's computer, and something popped up. It was Britney Spears' album. Because all the Jive records were enhanced CDs. They had, like, a bio,
were they
pictures.
On Jive?
So they were, I don't know if they were on Jive, but a lot of people in, like, from 97 to about 2000 were doing the enhanced CD, which is you put it in your disk drive on your computer, and, like, a little software thing would pop up, and you could read a bio on the artist, you could watch a video clip or two.
Oh, I think the Weezer Blue album was like that,
yeah.
Because they had the Buddy Holly music video attached to their CD.
And that was, like, the first instance of that. If I recall correctly, that's one of the first instances. But very interesting. We dropped the CD, by the way. Very interesting time when that was a thing.
Oh, my God. Me and my friend Marianne had such a crush on Westbourne.
My God.
Who, looking at him now, I don't know.
I mean, I would think he was a meth head, but that's just me.
That goatee alone should have been a fireable offense.
I feel like Fred Durst has done well for himself post-Limp Bizkit.
He's fine
he's
now.
Directing.
Didn't he, like, direct a movie or something?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, let's talk about the next Limp Bizkit record while we're here in
Chocolate,
Limp Bizkit land.
Starfish, and Hot Dog Flavored Water. Again, very prominent parental advisory label.
Yeah, I don't think that this... Upon visiting it again, I don't think it holds up the way that Significant Other does.
No, for sure.
Keep Rolling is
great.
Okay, so this was super funny.
In my generation.
My friend Marianne and I once had a comical misunderstanding on Halloween. She came over before we were just, like, meet up with friends, and I think we were going to, like, our first ever, like, Halloween party versus trick-or-treating, because yeah. we were, like, in 7th or 8th grade.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I'm gonna put on My Way. She's like, by Usher? And I was like, no! On the new Limp Bizkit album, because I think it had come out around Halloween.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And ever since then, it's been an inside joke, which is not that funny now that I say it out loud, but it's still funny to me. Whenever I see My Way, I just think about the Usher music video where he's at a carnival.
I appreciate that.
Can we, it's sort of better than the My Way on this album. Go ahead.
Can we discuss the additional production done by Scott Weiland, as in the late Scott Weiland, lead singer of Stone Temple Pilots?
I did not know that.
And Velvet Revolver?
I really did not realize.
This is fascinating. So one of the fun things, of course, when you look at CDs and any, like, physical, like, a record, you get to read these cool liner notes, and you're like, holy shit, that person had something to do with this album. And in this case, apparently, one of the producers was Scott Weiland, which is fascinating.
Wild.
R.I.P. Interscope Records. That's what the label they were on.
Well, that's a sub-label of Jive.
Yeah.
Or the other way around. Jive is a sub-label of Interscope.
I don't know. I don't remember. There were, yeah, a lot of sub-labels back then. A
lot of fly-by-night labels.
So much A&R money. Oh, my God.
I know. It's sort of like influencers now. You're like, why is this happening?
That's where it circulated.
It trickled down, quite literally. Go ahead and bring it on, the next, whatever the next one is.
We've got Nirvana Nevermind, which has a little sticker on the baby's penis.
That's my album. Yep, because I was like, I don't really want to see a kid's penis. Like, this is, I don't want to see it. So, I used to have a Hawaiian skirt over it, and I think I tried to do it again, but I didn't measure it.
Is that whiteout tape?
No, it's a post-it, okay. But it covers his junk. And recently we watched the movie Serenity, the Matthew McConaughey and Hathaway Serenity.
Yeah.
And there is a scene where Matthew McConaughey, apparently his shower, quote unquote, is him jumping off a cliff into the ocean. And there's, and butt naked, obviously. And he is floating in the ocean, and he looks just like the Nirvana baby. So at least the shot composition is, like, eerily similar, minus the dollar bill. It's very funny. Nevermind's good. Yeah. I think In Utero is my favorite Nirvana album. I don't really think that Nevermind is anything to be embarrassed about. I can't say that I've listened to it recently.
No. Yeah, it's just...
It's not... I revisit Hole over Nirvana more frequently.
I do now, for sure. For sure. I just... It's so funny to me, because, like, I don't think I ever owned Nevermind. I know the album so well, because it's amazing just, like, how many of the songs just, like, became such a big part of our lives, pop culture, and
I remember it being a big deal when I did buy it. I felt like, oh, I fucking know music now. Like, more than owning, like, a Beatles record or a Stones record or something.
Right.
I really felt like, oh, yeah, I'm, like, fucking edgy as shit now. Like, it was a huge deal to own this album.
I didn't realize until... not very recently, but recently enough that Butch Vig is in Garbage. Like, I knew Butch Vig, the producer, of course, of, you know, the Nirvana albums, but...
I did not put that together.
Butch Vig is in Garbage.
Well, luckily, they're reuniting right now, so...
I'd go see them.
I would go see them, too.
Let's go see them together. The final thing that we have here is just a Record Store Day compilation from Coachella 2011, which is a little late for our timeline, but I think it has a lot of bands that we can revisit, because they...
Kings of Leon, Arcade Fire, yeah. Kanye West and the Strokes on Sunday, which is quite the lineup. I wonder, did I see Kanye? No, it wasn't 2011 that I saw him, so I don't know.
Who else is... I love looking at the, like, smaller ones just to see...
Yeah, but I think the CD itself didn't have anybody of note.
No, probably.
On Forge. It was, like, a Record Store Day tie-in. Because I think Record Store Day fell on, it was April 16th in 2011, like the same weekend as Coachella. Oh, okay. Well, it's here. The tracks are Jenny and Johnny, which I believe is...
I saw them. It's Jenny Lewis and Jonathan, I'm blanking his name.
But wasn't he in, like...
Jonathan Richman?
Wasn't he in Snow Patrol or something?
I think he might, not Snow Patrol, but something like that, but I saw that tour around that time. I saw them at the Black Cat in D.C.,
Well, they have Scissor Runner on there, and then they've got The Swell Season, which sounds familiar, but I don't really quite recall. And then there's CeeLo Green doing a cover of No One's Gonna Love You. Rai Rai, which I remember she was supposed to be, like, the next big Santigold, and that didn't really quite pan out. Tiny Tempe.
Oh, yeah.
Was
it
huge.
Is it Tiny Tempe or Tiny Tempa? I always wondered.
I've heard both, to be honest.
Yeah.
Black Keys, right before they blew up.
Yeah.
With Howling For You. Duran Duran, which was, like, a new song. Robin with Dancing On My Own. I didn't realize I was on here.
That's a pretty good CD.
Rafael Sadiq.
I love. Who's from Oakland, actually.
Omar Rodriguez Lopez from At The Drive-In and Mars Volta.
Was he not the one who... was he in a band with Beto O'Rourke? Is it him?
One
of
the
members of the Mars Volta, sorry.
But he's 1 degree of separation away from Beto.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
And then there's Jimmy World, Kills, when they were on their satellite tour, PJ Harvey, Ellie Goulding, Delta Spirit, which they went away, Colts also went away, Tame Impala, yeah. Shore, and Cut Copy.
I've seen Cut Copy a bunch, too.
They're great, but they haven't put anything out. Like, I mean,
it's been a while.
It's been a minute, and I was really surprised to see that Hot Chip put on an album this year, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, another Coachella staple.
Interesting.
But yeah, it comes with this whole booklet, as if, I don't know.
Yeah.
As if we need, oh God,
Skrillex.
What a nightmare.
Ellie Goulding.
Yeah, because we need, like, a write-up on Duran Duran.
Off.
But Coachella used to do a bunch of this, like, outreach before they expanded to 2 weekends, so.
Oh, right, because this is a 1 weekend. Interesting.
I think this might have been one of the last years that they did 1 weekend.
Yeah. I feel like I'm the one person in California who's never been to Coachella.
You're fine.
I'm okay.
I mean, especially now.
I wouldn't go now, no.
We had friends that went specifically to see the Tupac hologram, and I was like, this is a bridge too far.
That's. So that's our CD highlights.
Blast from the Past CDs. I don't know. Who knows what this title of this mini is going to be?
I don't know. I really don't.
Center console. Forgotten center console CDs.
Straight from the CD Bible.
Oh my God. Can we make a Toy Story where it's like CDs forgotten in the trunk of a car?
And then you just cry your eyes out at the end of the episode because you wanted to abandon them?
You cry because you realize that the sum of reselling these CDs to Amiibo is like $7 if you're lucky.
You're making a couple pennies.
$12 bucks in store credit. Not enough to get anything else, and you definitely spend your own money.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a fun mini doing a stroll down memory lane, but we come back for season 2 in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
August 1st. You better get ready to be fast and furious.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're coming in hot.
So hot.
Getting ready for Hobbs and Shaw.
Yep.
Do some stretching. Work on your accents. Learn how to steal a car or something.
And stay hydrated.
As always, you can follow us on Instagram. We're at The Old Millennials Pod.
You can also email us at oldmillennialspod@gmail.com if you have any ideas.
Or suggestions. We are open to some mini episode ideas, even though we kind of like locked down a bit of season 2 already. But always interested to hear what you guys want to hear about from us.
Yeah.
And you can follow us individually on Twitter. I am at Marg, she wrote.
And I'm at Emily A. Bijan.
And until next time.
Bye.
Bye.